We're going to read through Psalm 136. And the holiday that we're celebrating is Shavuot, and it's actually when God gave the Ten Commandments to the people of Israel as they were leaving Egypt and going to the Promised Land. So I was just picturing all of the Israelites there, there's so many people in the land just there. But this would be actually what would happen. I'm sure there's lots of children and animals and all kinds of things. And then that is where Moses came down and he brought the tablets that the Lord had written on. And we're going to talk about that more soon. But I wanted to give that experience where we're all together. So Dennis is going to read Psalm 136. Dennis is going to read the phrase, and then what we're all going to say is the following part. And if you're following along, it says in the ESV, "For his steadfast love endures forever."
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good forever.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Perfect. Give thanks to the God of gods.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who alone does great wonders.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
The moon and stars to rule over the night.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
With a strong hand and an outstretched arm.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea in two.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And made Israel pass through the midst of it.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who led his people through the wilderness.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
To him who struck down great kings.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And killed mighty kings.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Sihon, king of the Amorites.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And gave their land as a heritage.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
A heritage to Israel, his servant.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
He who gives food to all flesh.
For his steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of heaven. Amen and amen.
Psalm 1:9. For the director of music, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them, your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sin. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
So my dad was supposed to speak this morning and give the message, and he is not doing very well this morning, so he wasn't able to come. So I will give the message. Oh, dear me. So I'm so sorry if you came to hear him speak and you're disappointed, but he will speak again. So I feel as though we need a little prayer before I start.
Yeah, we do. Let's stand together. And we really honor the Lord and the servants and the beautiful Gilman family. So we're going to stand with them. And yeah, Father, thank you for Alan, Lord. We just pray blessing from the top of his head to the tips of his toes, Lord. We thank you for this man of God. We thank you for his friendship. We thank you for the life that you've put in him and the freeness of his heart, how he gives freely what he receives, Lord, from you. So we bless him and pray that health and healing would flow through that body right now, his body right now, Lord. We're asking, Lord, you'd raise him up and strengthen him. And Lord, just even encourage him, Lord. We pray for a wave after wave of strong encouragement to flow over him. And Father, thank you for Sarah. Thank you for these moments, Lord. Thank you for the heart that says yes to you, Lord, that willing heart, Lord, that steps up and steps forward. And Lord, you just meet us. You do something that we cannot do, Lord, on our own. And so for Sarah this morning, Lord, I thank you for the grace that is upon her, for the Lord, the Spirit of God that is within her. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just continue to flow through this time together and through Sarah, your daughter, Lord, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you so much. What I'm going to say next might sound strange if you don't know who I am, but I'm going to say it anyways and continue on. So I don't know if you know who the Gilmans are, but that's my family. My dad is Alan Gilman. And yeah, that's my family. And for 11 years, I was a missionary in Haiti for 11 years. And I want to tell you something that was special about being a missionary in Haiti for me, is no one knew I was a Gilman. And I love that because I didn't have any background or any, like, no one was like, oh, any expectations. And just to make it clear, I love my family. I absolutely love my family. I love the family that I was raised in. I am proud of them. I love them. They're awesome. You all should be best friends all together. We would love you. You love us. I love it. But when I was, and no one knew who I was, it was just me by myself. I had no one to prove, no other anything. And I love that. And this morning, my prayer is that I wouldn't be Sarah Gilman up here, but I would just be someone speaking. And what I would love you to hear is God's heart and God's word. And that's my desire. And I just hope even for you, I don't know what you bring, what is your family name, what's your background. I don't know what happened to you last week or yesterday or this morning. But my prayer is that we can come fresh this morning, just us with nothing else, and actually just have an encounter with the Lord, his Holy Spirit and his word, and we can leave even more. So I hope that makes sense. I obviously love my family, and I'll probably talk about them a lot throughout the morning, but I don't want it to be about that. I really, really was hoping and praying that this would be about God this morning, and that's what this is all about. So this holiday that we're celebrating with a cheesecake competition is called Shavuot. Would you like to say that word together? Shavuot. It's a very hard word to spell. I always want to put the O and the U in the other place. But it's when you're celebrating 7 weeks after the Israelites have left Egypt and they're on their way to the promised land. And in the middle of that time is when they don't have food and God provides them manna and all the things happen. So many things happen during that time. But this is when God gave them the Ten Commandments. And I just think, like, what an incredible celebration to celebrate God giving us the Ten Commandments. And this was a connection that God had with his people. Like, for the first time, you could hear about different people in the Bible that had individual experiences with the Lord, God. But this was like one of the first times we hear about God as a whole talking to all of his people together and giving them the gift of the Ten Commandments, What's so cool is he first, Moses comes down the mountain. I'm just assuming you know the story. We'll look at some more scriptures in a minute. But God comes down the mountain with these commandments. The Israelites spend several days, quite a few days, and 40 days, I think. And they got impatient and started making their own idol and worshiping another idol. And Moses ends up getting mad and destroying the tablets crash down. And then actually he goes and he gets, God makes a second of them and comes back down. I'm kind of going through it fast because I'm assuming everyone knows. If you don't know, talk to Chuck. He'll tell you all about it. Just kidding. Read it. But anyway, I just think it's so cool because I don't know about you. Like I think Moses was up there for 40 days. But for me, and then all of a sudden they're worshiping an idol. For me, it doesn't take me 40 days to forget about God. It takes me at least 5 minutes, and I'm already stressed. Sometimes 5 seconds, and God just did something absolutely incredible. And 5 seconds later, I am stressing, freaked out, been like, well, God helped me a second ago, but maybe not this second. So I have found it very relatable that they're there making an idol, which is terrible, but very relatable. And I just think that's so cool about God, that this big event, the Ten Commandments, he actually gives again, because it didn't actually go quite well the first time. So he gives these Ten Commandments. And what I love about commandments, and I don't know if you are someone who's a rule follower, but I love following rules. I know some people, you see the rules and you're just like, and now I'm going to do everything opposite. That's just in your nature, you just can't stand rules. I love rules. I want to know exactly what's expected of me, and I want to do it exactly how I'm supposed to. And if I find out I did anything wrong, I'm just apologizing 45,000 times. But I love rules because to me, when someone gives me rules or I'm part of an event where they're giving rules, I feel loved. I feel like you care about me to take the time to explain what's expected. I feel so loved. It makes me feel part of the team. It makes me feel so appreciated and valued if you take the time to explain what's expected. And that's why I love rules. Well, one of the reasons, a big reason I love rules. And there's God giving these rules to us, or the Israelites, and he's telling them his expectations. And I don't know if you hear people talk about, the commandments of God, and they think that they're just all this crazy stuff. But God's commandments are things like, don't steal. I think that's such a great thing. Or, don't covet your neighbor's whatever. His commandments and his ways and his laws are for our own good and our own safety and for the help. And if you're a part of a team, if you're on a sports team or you're going to play a game, when the person explains the rules, it's so we can play the game better and have more fun. It's so we can get along. It's so we can have a victory. It's so there can be joy and peace. And this is one of the reasons that God gave us these rules, these commandments, is because he loves us and he wants to interact with us and he wants to be with us and back and forth. God is such a relationship God. And this is one of the reasons I love God. The other thing that's so cool is just his words. I just think of certain people when they speak and there's just so much power in their words, not because of their authority and they just are loud and mean or whatever, but because of the authority that will happen. For example, if I'll do something in this church and Chuck says it's okay, I feel free. I feel fine. And if I did something and then he has words, and even if he just says, yes, that's great. It's something simple. It's just a simple word. But it's his authority in the church. He's the pastor, and so he's allowed to say that. Does that make sense? Don't you just love words and rules? You do. Yeah. Yay. There are so many things. I remember being part of this. I lived in a house, this big, huge house with YWAM. There's 20, 30 people in one big house. And so we had the rule that you had to hang up your coats in the closet. People didn't like that rule. They wanted to throw them anywhere they want. And so the leader explained, he's like, there's 30 of us. And if we all just come in and lay our coats on the floor, that's 30 coats on the floor. So we need to be kind and respectful to each other. Let's just put them in the closet. And now we have space to walk. And I remember that moment of being like, that's why you have house rules. People are just like, oh, they don't like us. That's why we have house rules. But this actually, they're blessing you with these rules. And so my heart is that as you even read the word of the Lord and you see what God says in it, that you would actually be like, wow, God loves me. He actually says things like honor your father and your mother. That's actually going to bring a blessing. And it's not this magical thing that brings a blessing. It actually just brings a blessing. It just happens. It's not that really cool, whatever. Anyway, I'm just going to read a little scripture here. I found the verse. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to read through it, and then we're just going to look at a couple moments of it. We, of course, could stay here all week and year and do some Bible studies, but we'll just do a little reading. So this is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, and continuing. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, and that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it might go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your might. Sorry, I just skipped a part. Let me say that again. It's so beautiful and wonderful. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And that is where I'll end at the moment. There's so many incredible things, and the part that really stands out to me this morning is verse 4 to 7. I'm going to read it again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. I just absolutely love that idea of talking about what God has told us right here. To your children. It says to teach them to your children and to talk about them when you sit and when you stand, when you go, when you come. And I just think that in this time, I just believe this is so important that we are talking about the word of the Lord. We are talking about what God has called us. We are talking about his commandments to each other, to our children, and that this happens not just on Sunday, not just on Wednesday, but constantly all the time. As we've been preparing for this Sunday, I didn't realize that I'd been talking about this service a lot. The when I realized I'd been talking about it a lot was yesterday afternoon and evening. My daughter Christina, who's 4 years old, almost five, she got her notebook and she was just writing out Bible verses. She just kept coming to me. She said, "Can you write out a Bible verse?" And then she'd copy it. And she kept saying, "This is my Bible notebook." And she was just writing out Bible verses all afternoon and evening. You can see her little notebook. It's super cute. It's written backwards, but it does say, "Love the Lord your God." Yeah, and I was like, oh my word. Like, I didn't sit down with my daughter and just say, like, actually, which is fine too if I did that. But I didn't say, like, we are going to be celebrating this. It's about scripture. We're going to talk about God. She just heard me talking about it, and she's just writing out the scripture because that's just, like, what I've been talking about, and she just heard from the side. And I just think that's so beautiful, and I just want to encourage all of us, including myself, to be talking about the word of the Lord, be talking about God's ways, be talking about the scriptures. And one of the ways that we will do this is if we're reading the scriptures too. When I was younger, there was this friend of mine, and you can ask, this is before Google. Now you know how old I am. But anyways, before Google, there was no Google. So anyways, I'd be like working on stuff. I was part of this like discipleship school thing. Anyway, so I was working on some things and I would be wondering where a verse was. And I'd be like, "Do you know where a verse is that says this?" And this guy would be like, "He'd just say it with the reference and everything." And we were all working in the same office. And then I was always working on like sermons and messages and blah, blah. And I'd be like, "Oh, do you know where this verse is?" And he'd just say it. And I was like, "How in the world do you know that?" And this guy was 22 years old. I was like, "How do you know this?" And I realized it's because he's like, "Well, I just read my Bible." Anyways, he'd been reading his Bible since he was a kid, all the time. And I was like, "That's so interesting." Anyways, I am not 22 years old anymore. I am much older, and I had just been reading my Bible. And a few years ago, someone asked a question, and I was like, "Oh, it's in this verse, da-da-da-da." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, I know." It was so cool. Because, like, I mean, now you don't need to know anything ever. You just, like, Google it on your phone right now. But you actually, if you're reading the Bible, and if you're like a visual memorization person, which I am not, You could just read it a few times, maybe, and you'll remember it. You just read and you read and you read and you read, and all of a sudden it's there. And when you're thinking about something, you have a problem, you have a conversation, whatever, and it's just like there's these verses and they're coming, and you're like, whoa, I know scripture. It's so fun. It's so exciting. And I just encourage you to do that. To help you, I actually brought today some scripture cards. So scripture cards, I'm going to get the kids after the service to come and hand them out to you. I'll also have them on a table to take them. I know for me in my house, I have like verses all over the walls and places like that. And it's not because I'm spiritual. It's because I'm not spiritual. It's because I need that reminder. Like in my kitchen, there's a verse and I need to remember it. And in my bathroom, there's a verse and I need to remember it. And you could put it in your car. You could put it anywhere because we need to remember. And just like the Israelites forgot after 40 years, we forget after 40 seconds, and we need to be reminded. And we need that daily, daily, daily reminder because we're human beings, and God loves these human beings. So that's just a whole other sermon, which we won't talk about now. So anyways, we'll be handing out those scriptures, and if you want to take one, you could take a couple of them because there's a lot. And I just encourage you to be having these reminders of who God says he is, what God says he does, how God says he'll do it, and how much he's with you. I just want to end. That's just like a little thing to say. I just want to end with a psalm that Diane read. Yeah. If you want to turn to Psalm 19. And I would like to read it slowly together if that's okay. If you're feeling you're falling asleep, you can just stand up. Just kidding. Okay. We can read this together if that's okay with you. Oh, you can read it in any version you'd like. I'm reading it in the ESV. So Psalm 19. It says, to the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. How incredible. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. This is the part I really want you to hear in 7 and continuing on. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But I would like to know who today needs your reviving of the soul. Who today needs something wise? You're looking for wisdom. Who wants to have a rejoicing heart? Who needs to remember that we can be enduring forever? The word of the Lord actually brings these things. The word of the Lord actually comes and revives our soul, brings us wisdom, brings joy to our hearts. And I don't know about you, but I need this. Actually, I do know about you. You need this. All those points on fingers. You need this. I need this. We need this. We need to be revived. We need wisdom, and we need joy, and we need so much more that the word of the Lord actually does give to us. So today, or this week, people all over the world are celebrating this holiday, Shavuot, and they're reading the Ten Commandments. They also read the Book of Ruth because it's also part of like the harvest festival time. And I had this thought, and I wasn't going to share it, but I think I will. I was thinking of the Book of Ruth, which I'm assuming you all know. Again, if you don't know, come talk to someone else and they'll tell you. In the Book of Ruth, at the end, as you know the story, there's Ruth and there's her mother Naomi. And there's that famous line we all know where it says, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. And I feel like a lot of times, especially in these situations where we focus more on the your people will be my people part. But it actually says, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. And that to me is so powerful because we can talk about so many things, but it actually says your God will be my God. And it says, this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that God, the God who split the seas, the God who makes Do you know that one of my favorite stories is Elijah, and there's the altar, and then there's a battle with the Baals? Do you know the story? Mount Carmel. So there's that altar, and he's trying to show whose God is actually a God. And then Elijah says, bring more water. There's an altar. They're going to put fire. And then they put water, more water, and it's soaking wet. And then Elijah calls down from heaven, and God puts fire on the water. That's one of my most favorite stories in the entire Bible. It's like so crazy. Like, that shouldn't happen. That's who the God is. He does things like that. God, he's the one who rose Jesus from the dead. He saves Daniel from the lion's den. All these different stories. He fights David and Goliath. Like, all these stories. And I don't know about you, but for me, I keep saying, I don't know about you. I just want to give you the benefit of the doubt. I should just be like, I know you. I know life. I know human beings. We have problems. Wow, I need to stop saying this phrase. I'm so glad we've had this morning. I can learn. Anyway, I have had so many times where I'm lying in bed freaked out because of different things that are happening in my life where I need a miracle. And then I will remember, you are the God who puts fire on water. You are the God, not you, you. God, you're the God who opens the sea. Lord, you are the God who does this. And I'll remind myself, God already knows, but I remind myself, this is the God that I follow. So I just want to remind all of us that this is the God. And so all over the world, people are reading this book of Ruth. They're reading these Ten Commandments, but my prayer and my hope is that we'd remember that God. When we say that your people will be my people and your God will be my God, that God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who sits enthroned and he never gets off that throne, that's the God that we worship. That's the God that we celebrate. That's the God we serve. That's the God we love. That's the God we obey. You hear the word obey and you're freaking out. Remember, obey just means don't steal. It just means be kind. It just means be patient. He doesn't have all these like crazy like bend backwards and then like do this and like all these crazy stuff. That's not that God. That's a different God. Our God is a God who is kind and is loving and is patient. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's the God. And so that's what my prayer is that this morning, that as we have a potluck and as we have cheesecake, and my mom is going to help do Israeli folk dancing if you want to do some joyful Israeli folk dancing together. But as we're celebrating, we're not just celebrating for celebrating. We're not just eating for eating. We're not just having a competition. There are prizes for that. We're doing this because this is a reminder of God saying, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. That's what that's about. And that would be my prayer today, that we get to love God's word more and more. We spend time with God more and more. We are able to impact each other's lives more and more. And in that, this whole world's going to be changed. Boom, done, amazing. Can you believe it? So that is my unprepared message. Hard to pray. Well, Lord God, I just thank you that you love us more than we can even love you. God, that you are... You just see us, Lord. You know our names. You know our lives. And you love us. Lord, it's your idea to give us the commandments, Lord, that actually help us have a healthier life, that help us bless one another, and that walk well with you, Lord. You are the one who wants a relationship with us first. And I just thank you for that, God. And I just pray that as we finish the service and transition to more different things and we go about our week, that we would remember who is that God. You are the God, creator of the heavens and the earth. And I pray that we would walk with you, Lord. I pray we would spend time with you. I pray that we would remember you as we're going about our day. Lord, I pray that we would talk about your word and your ways as we stand, as we sit, as we go, as we come, to our children and to our friends, to our coworkers, to our families, all the people around. And Lord, I pray that most of all, Lord, you would be glorified in our lives. Lord, you would be worshiped and you would be exalted. And I pray for this world to come to know you, Lord. And I look forward to that day where we are all worshiping you together. And until that time, God, I just ask that you would help us to talk about you, to share about you, and to also come to know you more. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.